B-Pod Studios.
Sure, I'll talk about Juneteenth, actually, because I know you're doing something. You said you're doing something with Juneteenth.
I was making a joke. Have any of you seen the Reductress article? That's like, okay, so Reductress did a really funny article for Juneteenth. I believe it's not a new article. It's like something they did, I think, after the Atlanta episode came out, where they were like, oh, for Juneteenth, you should Venmo your black friends $50.
Happened then.
so I, as a joke, reshared that article, and I was like, yo, it's the Reductress ... eye emoji. And then I, as a joke, because I call myself the esports unicorn, because there's not a lot of black trans lesbians working in esports. It's just a fact. I put my Venmo, PayPal, Cash App in another tweet, but I put a unicorn emoji with a bunch of dollar bills trailing behind it to let people know it was like a tongue-in-cheek-esque thing. It wasn't like, oh yeah, pay up. It was like, hee-hee. I started today with like $300 in my PayPal account, and I'm at like $780, so...
Oh my gosh.
can't complain about those results.
I will plug a charity for those of you who want to, you know, support maybe a POC charity that also serves the LGBTQ community. I recommend the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. They do a lot of work with underprivileged trans people of color. So if you're looking for those two intersections on Juneteenth, I would highly recommend the Martha P. Johnson Institute. So that's my plug. I'm not doing anything for Juneteenth, mainly because last weekend, like I said, I ran a 2-day fighting game tournament to raise money for Trans Lifeline. So I need time to regain my energy. We were not expecting to raise 10K. So, you know, the fact that we raised over the course of 6 days, you know, days leading up to the tournament, you know, promoting it and our charity page, we raised $10,270. So
that's amazing.
That was a lot of work that went into getting that tournament off the ground and getting, you know, sponsors and getting brands involved. So even though Juneteenth is something that I'm also super passionate about, I kind of had to pick where my energy lied.
It's smart because spreading them out like that actually is more harmful than anything. Yeah. Like if you do like 5 things compared to putting all your effort into one thing, you know, you got to kind of pick your battles, even though you really want to do a million things. Like we struggle with that all the time. We kind of have to figure out like, where are we putting our energy like for this, you know, month or something like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things fall into your laps. Like this Juneteenth thing kind of fell into our laps and we're like, yes, 100% we'll get involved. But like other times it's kind of like, well, can I do this LGBT heavy thing or do I do this with this? It's kind of like you have to really choose.
And especially when you have a myriad of different marginalized identities like myself, right? Like I'm trans, I'm also black. I'm both black and Jewish, right?
You hit all the specs.
I had no idea about that one. Wow. This is great.
Yeah. So it's like really, it becomes a challenge sometimes, right? You want to, especially as a visible person, right? I have a platform that a lot of people with even just one of my identities doesn't have. And so you feel like you have to serve that sort of, you have to be one of the good ones, right? One of those like identities that really you want to be, you know, a good figure for other people who are looking for that representation. But sometimes you got to like pick. Right. Sometimes you got to pick where your energy can go.
I see in the chat someone asking what Juneteenth is, and it's essentially the celebration of the ending of slavery. I mean, if you want to go into more about what it is, because I'm sure there's like probably a dissertation you could probably explain about like the importance of Juneteenth. But that, in essence, is what it's about.
It's evolved also into sort of a recognition for the African Americans in this country to recognize both the sort of triumphs and sadness that comes with being black in this country, right? When my family started talking about Juneteenth, in that same breath, we talked about Tulsa, we talked about the Tuskegee Project, right? It wasn't just about, you know, the end of slavery for us. It was, you know, talking about these things that,
the continuing, you know,
it's unspoken history of being Black in America. Maybe other Black people celebrate it differently. You know, it's the same thing for Kwanzaa for me. A lot of people, I've met a couple of friends who celebrate Kwanzaa very differently than me. When it comes to these sort of more oral tradition holidays, it's more of like how your family experiences it.
Yeah. I honestly think too, like,
so Trash Panda, to answer your question, one of the things that put Juneteenth really on the map is Donald Glover has a show called Atlanta, and there's episode that talks about Juneteenth. And so that kind of started to put that into the broader social conscious. But like, it's not a new thing by any stretch of the imagination. And then because of a lot of the stuff going on with Black Lives Matter, especially going back, you know, 4 or 5 years, that's what's really pushed this more and more visibly into the mainstream, into the general consciousness of white folks in America. So it's not this new holiday that, you know, Black folks created for themselves. This isn't a new thing.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say more on that idea of education and not being educated on this stuff in school. I'm so quickly learning with everything going on because I am white and I live in the bubble of the U.S. I live in Utah. Right. So like the amount.
Wow, that was embarrassing. Hi, everyone. I'm back.
The amount of education that needs to happen is going to shape, if it does happen, it will shape the future. And I think the biggest thing with all of the Black Lives Matter movement that's been affecting at least me personally the most is just the amount of articles that I've read that are real and the amount of just information out there has been so helpful for me in understanding and being more empathetic.
Right.
And I think we're gonna now, you know, me, I'm definitely gonna teach my children, you know, this stuff. I think if they don't learn it in school, I think it's my responsibility anyways to teach that stuff to my kids. So like, I think,
and there's also a lot of really good, great children's books designed for teaching about this stuff.
See, this is stuff that I need to know because I don't.
Right. I'm your resident Black friend.
Yeah, I know, and that's the stuff that's so important. Like, bringing, I just people don't together. Get it. It's just so sad that it hasn't been more, you know, well known already.
And, you know, and that's like a weird thing because, like, you know, we all remember being in like middle school or elementary school or high school, and we have the big thick history textbook,
and that's all incorrect.
And we read like a sixth of it, though.
Just saying.
Like, whether it was correct or not, like, we didn't read all of it, no. Right? I don't think there was ever when we read all of our English books, we used a decent portion of our science textbook, but we barely touched our history textbook. I cannot tell you a year that we made it through the history textbook, start to finish.
Never.
And so honestly, even if I can't remember anything, was in a textbook, right? Like, to be completely logical, to like be, let's be unnecessarily fair. Let's say the Tulsa Massacre was in the history textbook. Who thinks it would have gotten covered, right? That took place around the Great Depression era. I barely remember. There was like, I think one and a half times I was in school where we like talked about the Great Depression for more than like 2 days.
Yeah.
So like, it's a failing of our education system. And yes, you know, part of that is, you know, you keep people uninformed so that they're kind of docile and they don't think about things too much, right? Because you don't want to face your own history. Unless you're Germany, which has made like a very, they face that shit and they own up to it. We as the US, we think that we don't have to because we try to, like, it's like how we show the civil rights movements in black and white photos, right?
Right.
That's edited, right?
Right.
Those black and white photos in textbooks are black and white to create an image of distance from the civil rights movement to now, even though it was 60 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago. Yeah. There was color photos back then. You have parents, you have grandparents, and you know what they look like in their like terrible acid wash jeans.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, think about it. Those photos are 30 years after The Wizard of Oz. Like,
yeah.
And that movie's in full color. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Or, like, you know, there's a great meme. Well, it's not meme and funny, but it's one of those posts that's very viral is, you know, Martin Luther King and Frank and Barbara Walters would all be the same age today.
Oof.
Right? They were all born the same year.
Wow.
And we don't think of Barbara Walters as, like, this, like, supremely ancient person.
No.
Right?
No.
So,
no.
Like, I know that this is supposed to be the Pride episode, but you were gone and we were on a commercial break.
I was like, wow, this
technically, this will be edited out, but I'm glad we had this conversation, though.
Maybe it won't be. I don't know. This sounds like it was a pretty good conversation.
Maybe we'll put it as, like, a little extra.
As a special or something, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, but, like, these are things that, like, you grow up black and you know about it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't grow up black or you're not a history buff or you're not, I hate to say the word because like it started as I think a fairly good phrase and has been kind of turned into a meme, but like unless you're like somewhat woke and understanding of like oppression, you don't know these things. And like that's where I think some of the intersection between like queerness and saying that they're not racist comes from is like, you know, when you're queer, you start to learn about intersectionality, like especially like poverty and queerness. So you think that, well, I'm so understanding of all of these intersections, so there's no way I can have racial biases. But, I mean, we still throw some pretty expensive queer parties, right, for Pride that marginalized black folks probably can't afford, right? Like, you know, somebody was just asking me about this charity thing that they're doing for Black Lives Matter, where they're selling high-end magic art. And they're like, what do you think of this? And I was like, well, you're doing a charity to serve a population that can't participate in your charity.
Yeah,
right.
And I was like, you got to accept that. Like, I can't tell you a way to do it better, but like, understand that like that in and of itself is a privilege, right? There are very few black people, just like speaking of wealth disparity, who can afford to buy a $500 piece of art.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's essentially like what you said earlier. This is like a white guilt event is what you're throwing. You're throwing a white guilt event.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's 100%. Like, I've never heard it better explained. But anyways, we should probably get on to our next topic. I don't want to keep you guys forever. I
promise I love all of you, our listeners and watchers. I don't think the worst of you. I'm just a very real and frank individual.
No, and it's a good point to have. Like, and I respect that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.